Most visitors fall in love with Venice, but some may have become a bit too consumed with their passion for the city. Judith Martin, a.k.a. Miss Manners, has written numerous books with advice on how we should conduct ourselves, but now she has turned her attention to the northern Italian city that has even consumed her. No Vulgar Hotel, The Desire and Pursuit of Venice is published by Norton, and I'm very pleased it has brought her back to my show today. Hello.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
I should begin by asking you whether Venetians have good manners on the whole.
Well, in their entire history, they've never had a case of road rage. They are actually very polite and gentle, possibly for the same reason that there's almost no crime in Venice. You can't make a getaway.
On the other hand, I wonder what you think of Casanova, Venice, one of Venice's most famous natives. Was he well-mannered? I mean, obviously, we could judge him.
Well, he did sort of kiss and tell.
Yeah.
I have to say that, yes. I'm not saying that they behave perfectly, but indeed, it is a city of gentle, civilized behavior. And as you say, I've gone wild over it.
In fact, you've written about a city that has been written about an awful lot, but found something that generally gets mentioned for a paragraph or two.
You know, I always swore I would never write a book about Venice because there are so many. And we've been going there three or four times a year for many years now. And because I love it. And I said to my husband, if I ever say I'm going to write a book about Venice, would you hold my head underwater until I say I won't do it? But then I did find that people have not written about Venetophilia, the obsession with Venice that I have, that Lord Byron had, that Henry James had, that so many people had, so many people today have. So I wrote this, and my husband said, I'm running the bathwater.
Mm-hmm. Or you could just go to Guantanamo. did you coin the word Venetophilia?
I thought so, but I've seen it elsewhere. But there has to be a name for this, because there are too many people who go Venice nuts.
Where does your title come from?
From
No Vulgar Hotel.
No Vulgar Hotel. It's from Henry James' novel, Wings of the Dove. And I was a little alarmed at people who say to me now, well, what's a hotel? It's not vulgar. That's not the point. The point is that it's living in Venice for however short a period. Henry James's heroine was dying, but she wanted that, as she said, the thorough pretense, make-believe of living in a Venetian house. And for us, it's a little more than that. It means that we get to know the living city. It's not just the history, which I adore, but we can invite people over. We get to know Venetians. They invite us to their house. It's the living city as well.
Well, most of the writers who've written about Venice have talked about their love for it, with Lord Byron, Henry James, Ernest Hemingway, Ezra Pound, George Sand. The only negative thing I can associate with it is Thomas Mann's Death in Venice, which does bring us to the other side of Venice. There are people who see it as a kind of a dying city, a city that's sinking, a city that has pretty smelly canals.
Oh, it's fragrant. And it's not sinking. The waters are rising. We like to make that distinction. It was sinking for some years, but it is not now.
They did try to prop
it up
at one point.
There's a very, very serious environmental problem, as there is everywhere, as we know. No, the anti-Venice propaganda has been going on for some time, and I blame that wretch Napoleon, because he conquered Venice embarrassingly easily, I'm sorry to say. And he tried to make the point that, oh, this is a terrible police state, and the citizens live in terror, and there are secret denunciations and so on, and in order to justify conquering Venice, and then found that after he'd conquered it, the citizens went into mourning because the citizens of Venice adored Venice. It was always ahead of its time. It was a republic in times of tyrants, of princes, cruel princes and kings. It was a republic. It jealously guarded people's rights. had its faults. I'm not whitewashing the situation, but always for its time, it was a very desirable place to live. So that wretch Napoleon, and then the modern crew, which is filmmakers, because they see all the props that they use in order to scare people. And when you see in the movies a dark alley and the sound of lapping water and hollow footsteps, you think, you know, something terrible is going to happen.
Here comes Christopher Walken.
Exactly, exactly. But in fact, in Venice, it doesn't happen. If I'm walking down a dark alley at night and I hear footsteps behind me, I turn around and there's some nice lady holding her pastry box, and I say, I'm a little lost, should I go here? And she says, oh, let me take you, and so on. It's not a scary place.
They do spot Americans. I remember once asking somebody, Dove Venice Biennale, and he said, oh, you walk down three bridges and make a left. And he was Italian. He was a local.
And he spoke in English?
He spotted me immediately. I guess my accent was really bad. Well, on the other hand, there are a lot of positive images we get for Venice, even from advertising. You give some examples. Jergens lotion to Coca-Cola.
And made in form brassieres, of all things. The most astonishing are the cars. They're in the Chicago Tribune last week, there was a picture of a Bentley for sale. Huge color picture. It's on a barge, and behind it is Santa Maria della Salute. It's on a barge in the Grand Canal, the one city that has no cars. They use it to sell cars. I mean, I think it, because it strikes something in everybody. And I've always said that I think that in the advertiser's book of how you pull people in with irrelevant things, right next to scantily clad women, is a scene of Venice. They'll buy anything. Probably now, true in my case.
My guess is Judith Martin, whose latest book is not about manners per se anyway. It's called No Vulgar Hotel, The Desire and Pursuit of Venice. It is published by Norton. And underneath your name are the words Eric Denker Cicerone. Now, he doesn't appear in the book.
Cicerone. No, but he is a close friend of ours. He is an art historian, and he's a Venice nut. And he and my husband and I go to Venice together all the time. And I did all the writing of the book, but he was a major contributor. He of course, knows Venice art inside out, but also film. And he's the one in the book who took gondola lessons. Not me.
Because it takes special skills to be able to propel one of those gondolas.
And you have to be a man. They still do not have women gondoliers.
Why Venice rather than Paris? There are people who have the same kind of love for Paris.
You'd have to ask them to explain it. Paris is a very nice city, but given the existence of Venice, why do they go to Paris? I don't know. It's beyond me.
You trace your interest to fantasies when you were still a kid.
I was taken there in my early teens by my parents on our way home from a foreign assignment that my father had with the UN. And yes, and I thought, you know, this is an extremely nice place. And I conceived this whole fantasy of myself living in a palace with a lot of friends and dressing up and stepping at night into a gondola to go to a ball. And it was a childish fantasy, but 40 years later, I did it, all except for the gondola, which, because the meter starts running there at about $90 or something, and so I walked to the ball wearing my Wellingtons, carrying my evening shoes in a little plastic bag like everybody else.
So the Wellingtons were the difference, the footwear.
Well, there is this horrible problem of high water, which is more and more often, and you just get used to, at breakfast, if you hear a siren, you get out your rubber boots because you know you'll be waiting part of the day.
Who were the Barbarigos?
They are a family, an old Venetian family, that lived in the house that we've been renting for many years. And there is this funny thing, doesn't just happen to me, everyone begins to identify with the family of the place they stay in. Even if people who stay in a hotel, if they stay in the Gritty Hotel, they have a special feeling about Doge Gritty, even though he never lived there. And so I had this feeling about the family that lived in the house that we've been renting for many years. They had two doges, one of whom killed the other, and they had a saint, Saint Gregory Barbarigo, and they had a couple of really beautiful and rather audacious women, a mother and a daughter. Caterina Barbarigo, the one I like consider my great friend there, although she lived in the 18th century. The confusion is because the Italians say it, the centuries differently than we do. So, excuse me. Anyway, she was a great beauty. She was very audacious. She had a library of philosophical books in many languages, including English. She opened a little casino, which was not uncommon among Venetians' private places, where you had philosophical discussions and a little gambling and an occasional love tryst. The Inquisition shut it down, and she opened it right up again. The Inquisition was no match for my Caterina.
Actually, the Inquisition gives us the word ghetto, because that's where the Jews were forced to go into this
ironwork. That was
there.
Actually not part of the Inquisition. And the ghetto, yes, it's a foundry, and it's where... But you have to remember, first of all, that the Jewish population came to Venice because conditions were worse elsewhere.
But what about today? Real estate prices are so high. This is worse than New York, isn't it?
Probably, yes.
And
it's not just the real estate. It's the upkeep. These houses, a lot of them, are up to 1,000 years old, and they're in the water. I finally got over what Henry James calls palazzo madness. When you think you have to buy one of those places, you rent, then if the facade falls into the canal, it's somebody else's problem. Yes.
And I'm sure there are leaky roofs and all sorts of other problems that occur.
There are a lot of problems, yes.
So I'm assuming somewhere in the near future you're going to make your next trip to Venice.
In the near future is right, next Friday, a week from tomorrow.
Well, do you write there?
No. I get overcome by dolce far niente, and I do nothing. I enjoy Venice, and then I write when I come back.
What about foodies? Venice is not a city of the best Italian food.
It's not a great cuisine the way the Italian cuisine is, but there is plenty of wonderful fresh seafood and everything. And my husband, who is a molecular biologist by trade, is a secret cook who, it's not such a secret actually, adores cooking. And so when we land in Venice a week from tomorrow, or Saturday morning, he will drop the luggage and go running down to the Rialto, because the fish market will close at 1 o'clock and be closed on Sunday and Monday. And so he will get whatever roadkill there is, and he turns out the most wonderful meal. So we don't really eat in restaurants. We eat at home or at friends' houses.
And you have different kinds of shopping there than you would in other places.
Well, there's wonderful, as I say, fresh seafood and everything else they import, because they can't grow it. But there is a wonderful variety. That Rialto market has been there since 1100.
Judith Martin's latest book is No Vulgar Hotel, The Desire and Pursuit of Venice. Makes me want to go back immediately.
Come, and we'll serve you dinner.
Okay, well, if your husband is as good a cook as you say, I'm already hungry. The book is published by Norton, and meanwhile, we'll be reading you in the newspapers.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's a delight to be here.